How are you, Dev?
Good, finally, good.
They're wonderful. They've been Europe's number one brand for, well, 91 years, soon to celebrate 100 years of domination in Europe. And now, if you go to a locksmith in Australia and say, give me your best, he'll give you ABUS.
That's right.
And if he doesn't, then find a new locksmith. Big week as everybody's up and running in local footy.
Well, strangely enough, well, everyone is up and running this week. I'm not amazed, but it does seem a bit unusual that some of the leagues haven't started yet.
But this week marks the start for everybody.
Yes, yeah. I did think that everyone started last week, but for example, the Ballarat League starts this week, and they're not the
aren't the Omeo and District in their finals? They start playing finals when very, very much before everybody else.
There's still snow on the peaks above Omeo when they start playing finals. They're right about the second week of August they start, so yep. A little way to go there, but Ballarat League's one that starts this week. And speaking of the Ballarat League, we're speaking to Mark Pedersen, who's the Melton South coach.
Now, Melton South, how long have they been in the Ballarat Football League?
Yeah, it's a good question. Mark Pedersen was on Peter German's coaching staff at Coburg. But
great.
In 1997, this is it's still a talking point in that area, just on that northern western fringe of Melbourne and Ballarat. In 1997... But this is the only example I know of. Basically, there was a Riddle District Footy League, and the smaller clubs banded together to get rid of the good clubs. It's normally...
Sunbury?
Yes. Sunbury, Melton, Melton South and Darley all went from the Riddle League to the Ballarat League. So normally it's a case of the big clubs getting stronger and then the smaller clubs have to find their way to another comp. But in this situation...
So that's an unusual situation.
Very unusual.
Dare I say, a riddle.
That's right. So the four clubs got bundled off. They said the others said you're too good, and to be fair, the Riddle League has been a greatly even competition over the last 18 years. Most clubs seem to have a reasonable chance, and when those four clubs went to the Ballarat League, they dominated. Like the four of them were in the finals, pretty much for those first 5 years. The four of them made the finals, and Sunbury have kept going. They've made the grand final more often than not in the last 18 years, 17 seasons. And Melton and Melton South were up around the top, but they find themselves down towards the bottom now. Last year they finished 10th and 9th. And this weekend we've got the big derby, Melton South at home. Finished 10th last year versus Melton 9th. So that's unusual. The Ballarat clubs have reasserted themselves, not least Redan, which had a series of grand finals against Sunbury in the mid-2000s. And in the last couple of years, North Ballarat have been clearly the best team.
Let's go around the traps, and we'll shortly be catching up with Dyson Baker, AFL Media Manager, but let's take some potted highlights from various leagues. And we'll be talking to Aaron Edwards shortly. He has got off to a good start with the Pines in the Mornington Peninsula Football League.
That's right, finally, as you comment every time, that well-known country football league, the Mornington Peninsula League.
Yeah. Against Seaford, that little country town.
Chelsea, I mean, you're almost in St Kilda when you're in Chelsea.
It's a leap of, what's it called, not a leap of faith, you need... Suspension of belief. Suspension of reality when you talk about the Mornington Peninsula and the vast area it spans.
Mm. Mm.
But that's okay.
It's the Mordialloc Creek, is that right? That marks the northern...
Or Paterson River? Maybe the Mordialloc Creek.
Yeah, that marks the northern... Chelsea's the northernmost club. Yep. Used to stretch right down to Sorrento, but now the leagues have been broken up, so it only goes as far as Mornington, actually.
Yep.
But yes, Aaron Edwards, he's gone... He's, of course, West Coast, Richmond, North Melbourne... and has gone after a VFL career as well. He's gone back to his roots. He's from the Frankston area. He's gone to play for Pines, which is based just outside Frankston for listeners in other areas of Melbourne and the state. And he's kicked 6 in his first game a couple of weeks ago when they defeated Seaford by 29 points. And last week, Pines have had a win over Langwarrin. Aaron Edwards only kicked 2, but then Pines won with 7-9-51 to 5-7-37. So not sure why it was such a low-scoring match. The big match in that competition, in the Mornington Peninsula competition. Mount Eliza defeated Frankston YCW by 19 points. Now, Frankston YCW, of course, won the flag last year, so that's a great win for Mount Eliza. Boosted by Justin Van Nuenen, well known to Eastern Footy League fans as a former Vermont star. He's kicked 8 goals in a best on ground performance. His father, Johnny Dugdale, actually coached Mount Eliza to a flag in 2001. So there's a family connection, which is why Justin Van Nuenen's gone there. This week, Pines v Coringle.
Who's his father?
Johnny Dugdale, I read today on the net. Now, it's very similar to John Dugdale, the ex-North Melbourne champ.
But it's a very different name to Van Nuenen.
It is. That's my understanding, though.
Yes, these things happen.
These things happen. This week, Frankston YCW to unfurl their flag before the Chelsea game. The big talk... Sorry, go on.
No, yes, the big talking point.
The big talking point, fine. Before we do, actually, Seville play in Division 2 in the Yarra Valley Mountain District competition. They're looking for players. So please contact Coach Frank Lesaputty through the club.
Was Frank Lesaputty a dog?
He was. That's right.
Bulldog?
He's the coach of Seville in Div 2 in the Yarra Valley comp, and they're after players. The big talking point, finally, certainly in suburban footy, Pasco Vale. Now, last week we had Jason Cunningham, well-known to SEN listeners, for his financial advice on the run home.
He was suggesting a vastly improved lineup. How did they go?
He gave a good account of himself, I thought. It was a great interview. And Pasco Vale have never won a Division 1 flag. They won the B-grade flag in 2011. In the last three seasons, they've struggled to stay up. I think they've just managed to avoid relegation. Over the summer, they had a massive recruiting spree. And it's paid dividends when they've gone to Avondale Heights. Avondale Heights finished third last year. Not largely, but certainly it helped that they had Paddy Rose and Dean Galea, two ex-VFL stars. And those two played for Avondale Heights on Saturday, kicked 2 goals each, but they are no match for Pasco Vale, who've gone to Avondale Heights and won by 87 points. So they've been a finalist last year by nearly 100 points. Ben Warren, well-known to SEN listeners, North Melbourne and Werribee fame. He kicked 6 goals and was best on ground. Jake Polizzi also kicked 6. Now, I just had a skim around the net, and Jake Polizzi is a local. There's plenty of Polizzi's in the Pasco Vale, in the history of the Pasco Vale Footy Club, it seems. So he's kicked 6. Michael Ross, brother of Ben Ross, who was at Hawthorn, he's in the best. And Gavin Urquhart, former North Melbourne midfielder, who probably should have played more AFL games. He was a talented player. He was in the best as well. So a very strong win to Pasco Vale. Also in the EDFL, Keilor have defeated Airport West by 70 points. Airport West have been denuded by the loss of Gavin Urquhart, Daniel Harris, and one or two others from who've gone from Airport West to Pasco Vale. Keilor have defeated Airport West by 70 points. Ex-Richmond teammates David Gordis and Andrew Brown kicked 3 goals each for Keilor. And in the second tier in the EDFL, Craigie Burn have defeated Glenroy by 1 point. Which is a close game, of course, but the main factor there is that Jason Cloak kicked 4 and Cameron Cloak kicked 2. So they've got the two Cloak brothers playing for them. They've only managed to win by a point. I would have thought Craigie Burn, or Glenroy, tipped be out towards the top, but you might have expected Craigie Burn to do a bit better there, finally.
Northern Footy League, and now I don't associate Lower Plenty with being a powerhouse. They've had a good win over Montmorency. Is their star on the rise?
Yes, finally. If you know, Power Road in the northeast suburbs separates the Lower Plenty and Montmorency grounds are off Power Road. They're separated by a few metres, so they're on adjacent grounds. And Montmorency has always been the senior partner in that duo. Montmorency, as listeners to this show would know, have been up around the mark for many years in the Northern League. They've made several grand finals in the last decade and have not managed to win one, much to their disappointment. And Lower Plenty have always sort of battled along down the bottom of Division 1, top of Division 2. They've managed to improve in the recent years just a little bit by a little bit, and now we look like we're having the tip to have a change of the guard this year where Lower Plenty will be better than Montmorency, I gather, for the first time in the two clubs' history. And so it was a big match last Saturday. Lower Plenty keen to create a new dynamic, and they've come up trumps. They've defeated Montmorency by 14 points. Darcy Barndon was among the best. Now, the Barndon family very important at Lower Plenty. I think there was three playing last year, and I gather there'd be two, if not three, there this year. So good on Lower Plenty. Also in the Northern Footy League, Northcote Park have defeated West Preston Lakeside under lights at Northcote at the Westgarth Oval by 58 points. Luke Spark and Oliver McEwen in the best for Northcote Park. David Roden, ex-Richmond, Melbourne and Port Rover, he was in the best for West Preston. Also in the Northern League, Heidelberg had defeated Bundoora by 27 points, two very regular finalists over the last decade. William Knight and Jason Kennedy kicked four each for Heidelberg. Bundoora, first game without Cameron Cloak, now who I've said just made his debut for Craigieburn on the weekend. Cameron Cloak kicked 246 goals in the last 4 years with Bundaberg, so an average of 62. So if you lose someone who's going to kick 60 goals every week, it's going to put a hole in your team.
Quick look at the VAFA because Dyson Baker's ready to go and give us our Eastern Football League wrap. The Premier's Old Scotch defeated... in the Premier Division, Old Scotch defeated the Premiers, the reigning Premiers, by four goals.
That's right. Unexpected. Alice Van Kempen hoisted the Premiership flag at the University Oval last week. And University Blacks have been disappointed. Old Scotch have got up by 24 points. Fairly comfortable win. University Blues, up from after winning the B grade flag last year, defeated DLSL by 34 points. Ross Young, who was Richmond's VFL captain last year, he's gone back to Uni Blues and he was in the best.
A draw, Bowie and Old Carey. That's a good result for Old Carey. Raph Clark stepping out for Cookie's team. Michael Cook, a big powerhouse, the power behind the throne there at Old Carey.
And Paul Newton, great friend of the show from Abus Locks. Yes. Old Carey, soundly beaten in the B grade grand final last year by University Blues. So they've and Bo Morris, finished sixth last year in A grade. So good result for Old Carey. James Gaff, who's Andrew's brother from West Coast, he was in Carey's best. Zavs defeated Collegians by 43 points. VAFA captain Matt Hanley kicked four. And Old Trinity came back from 28 points down at the final change to defeat St Bernard's by 5 points.
Well, you wouldn't have liked that.
No. I reckon St Bernard's wouldn't have liked it either. Harry Tinney, who was the VAFA's best player in the win over the Northern League in the Metro Championships. He was moved into the middle in the last quarter and had a pleasing effect for the Old Trinity team.
Newly promoted Hampton Rovers had a great start to life in B grade, thrashing Mazenod by 69 points. And St Kevin's did what they just can't seem to do in finals and squeaked a win over St Bede's of Mentone by 4 points. Let's head to Eastern Football League offices where the media manager, Dyson Baker, patiently awaits. Good evening, Dyson.
Good evening, Fonny. Good evening, Duff.
G'day, mate.
There's big games right across the competition. Baldwin take on Montrose. Now, Baldwin, how did they go in their first game of the season?
You can call it redemption, but obviously nothing's going to ease the pain of a grand final defeat. They did well in the last term. It was a 9-point lead to them at three-quarter time, and then they pulled away from Norwood to end up winning by 21 points. Got a bit of wind. A few of their recruits kind of sparked up in the last quarter. Brendan Goss kicking four goals for the afternoon. Tom Roach was good. It was just a case of, I think, Baldwin having a good run coming into the last quarter and a bit of fitness got them over the line.
Blackburn and North Ringwood, big game, and Blackburn got off to a good start. We know North Ringwood are rapt to be back in First Division, so a win to both of them, and one of them will be undefeated come the weekend.
Exactly right. North Ringwood, they'll be buoyed after Sunday's win. They got over local rivals East Ringwood pretty comfortably. To tick that first box and get that first win up in Division 1 once again is a promising thing for the Saints. They'll be hoping they can do that once again, although it's going to be a bit tougher coming up against Blackburn, who are a quality outfit. Having said that, they only just got over the line against Lilydale. They got jumped. They trailed at every single break and trailed late into the game. Eventually kicked a couple of goals with about 5 minutes to spare to put them up by a goal and win the game. But if that happens again this week against North Ringwood, it's going to be a real trouble because North Ringwood have got talent on every line and they will make them pay. Jason Blake, former St Kilda player, he reunited with another teammate, Brett Moyle. They both pulled on the boots for the first time for North Ringwood in a few years. He kicked three goals, so he's obviously going to be the target for them. Just a big, big cumbersome body that the Blackburn are going to have to watch. So look, I think North Ringwood size should win out on Saturday afternoon.
Jason Black at Uni Blacks last year, so that's a good get for North Ringwood. Dyson, Division 2, Doncaster versus Doncaster East. How does that rank in terms of a local rivalry?
No bigger in Division 2, I don't think. Particularly after a few incidents that have happened over the last couple of years. There was a game, I think, 2 years ago out at Xavier's Reserve Doncaster East where it was decided by a free kick through a punch through from a ball up in the goal square. Oh. There's been a lot of games like that have gone down to the wire. A few fiery clashes in the last couple of years as well. Absolutely no love lost between those two sides. Doncaster struggled last week, so that's something that we're going to keep an eye on over the next 3 or 4 weeks. They were jumped by Croydon. They ended up going down by 35 points. And obviously with the recruits that they've got, Ben Johnson stayed on from last year. Heath Scotland was kicked a goal, was named as one of the best players. We probably expected more from Doncaster. Having said that, we don't take a lot away from Croydon. They must have been pretty impressive on Saturday afternoon. The Lions were absolutely clinical. They came up against a bit of a rivalry of their own in Moorabbin, got the job done convincingly, move on to round two.
How far separates Doncaster and Doncaster East?
It'd be going on a kilometre.
A kilometre.
But yeah, they are. And there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the juniors and the Yarra Junior Footy League. They to and fro between the two sides as well, Beverly Hills and Doncaster. And it's the same in the seniors. There's a lot of crossover. A lot of guys that are mates go to Doncaster High and that sort of thing. So, there's a fair bit there. And I mean, look, I think Doncaster East should get the job done, and they're really looking like premiership hopefuls. They had a recruit, Ben Limbach, who kicked 8 goals on the weekend, so he's going to be the key for them this year.
Dean Limbach, Richmond, ex-Richmond ruckman. Okay.
Correct.
Scoresby play their 1,000th game this weekend.
Yeah, but they've become the fifth club to play it in the Eastern Football League. We're starting to get...
That's interesting. Who were the other four?
East Burwood was second, I think.
East Burwood, Vermont, Bayswater.
Mitcham, I reckon?
Yes. And we've got another one coming up in the next couple of weeks, Blackburn.
Okay.
And Doncaster are the next two. So I think Blackburn are in round 5 and Doncaster are in round 7 this year.
Okay. 1962 it started, didn't it?
Correct.
Okay. Sorry, Scoresby playing their 1,000th game against Waverley Blues.
Yeah, look, it should be an interesting clash. I mean, Scoresby, they challenged 110 South, the premiers from Division 3 last year, obviously. We know where Scoresby were at coming off a pretty dismal season in 2014. Waverley, they seemed to be up and about. They were clinical against Mulgrave, ended up getting up by, I think, in excess of 80 points. So they're the team to watch coming up into that finals bracket for Waverley Blues supporters. So this is an interesting one just to gauge exactly where these two sides are at.
In fourth division, it's an early call, but we might be looking at a grand final preview in round 2. Warrandyte have recruited powerfully, we know that, and Ferntree Gully have got a very consistent team. Should be a great clash.
Exactly right. I mean, basically, you're looking at these two sides, and Forest Hill is the pre-season favourites for finals, and obviously for grand finals. The way these two sides played on the weekend, you probably can see why they were quite good throughout last week, although they probably wouldn't have been 100% happy. Warrandyte were tested early, ended up comfortably getting over the Glen Waverley Hawks. Ferntree Gully were pushed all day by Surrey Park. That game is probably the most interesting of the two, given that, over the years there's been such a gulf between Surrey Park and Ferntree Gully. Now that that's starting to close, whether Ferntree Gully are getting worse or Surrey Park's getting better. So to see how this sort of Division 4 plays out over the next 3 or 4 weeks would be interesting. For Warrandyte, Ash Froud, former Vermont forward, a well-known name in the Eastern Football League, he made an immediate impact for Warrandyte. The Bloods kicking 8 goals last week. Mark Cullen also playing, former Vermont and Sylvan player as well. But look, this one could go right down to the wire, particularly out at the Blood Bank at Warrandyte. It could be interesting. To me, Warrandyte get the job done at home, but that doesn't take anything away from Ferntree Gully. I think they're the team to watch over the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Dyson, you get a gold stamp for a courageous EFL report under duress. It sounds like you need strepsils and some.
Look, a babysitter would do just fine. I've got a 3.5-month-old that doesn't feel like sleeping lately.
Yeah, when they cry, you don't have to mimic. If they're up all night, then it's hard to sleep.
Is that the key to success, Lonnie?
No, the key to success is ignore. I've got 4 kids. I blithely ignored my way through many a sleepless night. Well, for my wife, by just, you know, double pillowing the ears.
Just roll over and pretend to snore.
I wasn't pretending. I was actually back to our core business, and Aaron Edwards will be joining us shortly from the Pines Football Club, Def.
Yes, finally. Of course, Aaron, well known as a full forward at AFL level. He's gone back to his roots, kicking goals.
Powerhouse goal kicker. Will he be the last 100 goal kicker in the VFL?
Just about. Also be the last 6'1" full forward in the AFL, I reckon. That's small for a midfielder now. Is that right? He was only about 185.
Yeah, that sounds
right. Just had an amazing pair of hands. A
great rig.
Yeah.
But
look good.
The VFL stroke VFA was where goals were kicked.
Yes.
150 was not impossible. Jamie Shaw kicked north of that.
Did he? 160? What free cool kick?
I don't know if he ever kicked more than 150 in a season, but there were just 100 goal kickers everywhere. Every team had one. The boy from Oakley definitely kicked more than 150 in the season, Reno Preto.
Yes. Played a few clubs, didn't he?
Every team had a Hammond down at Camberwell. You name it.
Fothering at Yarraville?
You name it. They were kicking big bags. Neville at Morty Alec. Jurgenstein at Northcote. The Waverley full forward kicked maybe Angelus.
Okay, yep.
And he was built a bit like Aaron Edwards. He wasn't super tall, but powerful and impossible to stop. Those days long gone, so Aaron Edwards' feat of kicking 100 goals for Frankston in the VFL was enough to earn him a recall to AFL football, because people remember him as a North Melbourne and Richmond player, but he was originally a West Coast.
He kicked 4 in his first game, I think.
Footballer. And obviously still has a great appetite for the game, and is playing with the Pines Football Club and joins us now. Good evening, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
We're already missing your goal-kicking prowess in various competitions where they just don't kick bags like that anymore, do they?
Yeah, it was one of those things where the press just come in and people flooding back. So I guess the days of when those big forwards, like obviously the Dunstalls, they're kicking huge bags, and those days are pretty much gone, and obviously it's more of a team defence instead of the one-on-one.
Aaron, tell us why we've gone to the Pines.
Yeah, well, I'm from the peninsula, so I wanted to play somewhere that was close to where my family can come watch and where I grew up as well. So my current girlfriend's stepdad actually played down there, and he got the contact for me, and they gave me a call, and yeah, I was more than happy to strap on the boots for him.
Aaron, the Pines is famously a pretty tough part of Frankston and produced some good footballers. Nathan Burke, probably the headline act. Does the Pines football team carry that reputation for being a place where tough kids grow up onto the football field? Is that the sort of brand of footy they play?
Yeah, they don't check a contest. I'll give you the tip. It's a real good footy club to play for, and I'd rather be on the team that other teams fear to play than play against them, which is good. So, it's a great footy club and a real good family club as well. It's a close footy club, and I'm really enjoying my time down there. Like I said, the team plays real hard, and like I said, they go in and win the hardball, so that's all you can ask for.
And I would have thought and of course, there's been question marks raised, but I still believe that local footy clubs are very important to community, that in and around Frankston, a good football team with a good family environment is bloody important, Aaron.
Yeah, it is. It's something that that I know that my family are really enjoying. They're really enjoying the family atmosphere, obviously, coming out of AFL, where they don't get to interact with me. Obviously, when I get to game day, now they get to come watch and I get to talk to them pre and post-game, and they're loving that element of football, and they get to run out on the ground and they get to play with all the other kids and all that. And that atmosphere is something, the family atmosphere of local footy is something that I forgot, and it's good to be back involved in.
Aaron, you mentioned that being close to the fans. Any funny comments over the fence to you?
Do you know what? We're only two rounds in. I haven't heard any ridiculous ones yet, but I can't really remember a great one. I heard some good ones, obviously, playing in the VFL over the years, which I probably couldn't bring up on radio. But there's I'm sure throughout the season I'm going to get some crackers. It's the Frankston League, so you will have some people in the crowd that will throw out some wild comments. So I'm looking forward to it.
I've watched a couple of grand finals from the wing at Frankston Park there. I reckon the crowd there is as vocal as any crowd in local footy in Victoria. Watching a Mornington Peninsula Grand Final, it's very vocal.
Oh, Mornington Peninsula. Because, yeah. Aaron, didn't Frankston, when you played at Frankston, wasn't there a bloke there with a drum?
Yeah, there was.
Some percussion?
There was a guy with a drum. There was a guy in a dolphin suit. there's some serious characters, but they didn't miss a beat up on the hill next to the school. Well, they were there every game. Hard rain or shine, and that's part of footy, isn't it? Having supporters that are with you thick and thin. So, I guess we're gonna have. I think we'll have really good support down the Snake Pit. That's our home ground, the Snake Pit.
I was going
to
say,
yeah, we've had some good crowds, and hope to continue that. So we've started off the season well.
Well, the Pines and the Pythons. So no one gets dressed up as a python, do they?
No, we haven't. We have. No one's gone that extreme at the moment. But yeah, it's Love getting everyone down the Snake Pit. We've got some real serious colours of red and green, which is Christmas tree colours. it's not too bad. Really enjoying it.
Aaron, you're a traditional lead and mark sort of player. Do you approach the game any different going back to local footy?
Sorry, I missed that last bit.
Sorry, you're a traditional lead out, trying to take the mark. Do you approach the game any different? You're doing what you've always done at AFL level and VFL level, or?
Yeah, I haven't changed my game a hell of a lot. Yeah, it's just leading up and trying to stay involved. I guess playing at other levels, just learn. You pick up little things along the way over the years that I've played, and I guess you do get the players that'll be able to go with you on the lead, but it's more so the second or third efforts and taking them up the ground and just try to use obviously your football smarts as well, and just. Just play footy, just enjoy it. It's more about enjoying footy now that I've obviously spent a bit of time at other levels and just enjoying it and getting wins along the way.
People don't really understand, for an AFL footballer, especially somebody like Aaron, who was at three different clubs and was always working his butt off to be a regular senior player, it's not about enjoyment. It's about you know, a professional putting some bucks in the bank, but also the enormous pressures that come with footy. The average AFL fan doesn't understand how many players live in that bubble and how tough it is, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things where it's funny that you go do your clinics and you go talk to an outsider, just a general supporter, and they say you've got the dream job. And it might be the dream job for a few, but it is a hard slog. It's a battle. Like I said, I spent 10 or 11 years, I think 11 years on three different lists, and there was not one time where I was comfortable on a list. So
it's amazing.
One of those things where I lasted the test of time, but it was definitely a really hard slog. And if I didn't do the majority of things right, at the end of any given year, I could have been out the door.
Over a decade, you never felt quite settled. It's amazing, isn't it? Just last weekend, Aaron, Pines defeated Langwarrin 7-9-51 to 5-7-37, and you've kicked two. That's a very low-scoring game. What went on there?
Yeah, it was actually really good weather. It was actually two very defensive game plans going into it. I think both coaches were defenders, so it showed, well, two goals all at half-time was more of a soccer score, so I wasn't that rapt, to be honest.
No.
I was trying to get the ball in. But we've started 2-0 down there, and we've got some really good players. We've got another really good forward in Guy Hendry that I'm loving playing alongside, and he's causing some trouble himself. So I think that we haven't played finals in 12 years. So to beat Langwarrin, we beat our rivals in Seaford round one. So we're 2-0 now, and so all we can do is build on that and just strive for a finals berth, the first one in this will be 13 years, I think it is.
Yeah. Aaron, I'm sure when you moved from the AFL scene to local football, you would have thought that the high-tech world of laptop analysis and every possible angle of analysing and covering a game of football was behind you. But there's a bloke apparently called Oscar Novak down at the Pines, and he has taken football the assessment of statistics and facts to a whole new level, literally.
Yeah, he loves his drone. He loves his drone. He gets down there and he obviously takes their training and does a bit of behind the goals vision. If I miss and he's got the drone behind the goals, I'll blame it that I didn't want to hit the drone. So it gives you a bit of an out if you miss goals, which is good. But he's given us a different angle, and especially in the competition that we're in at the moment. They haven't seen footy from those type of angles. Probably haven't seen them play footy from obviously bird's eye view either. So it's real good for education for us, and I guess other teams will probably do that going forward as well.
Has he buzzed any opposition players like a sort of World War II ace?
No, he hasn't, but he definitely loves what he does. I think he spends all his money on his toys, to be honest.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was asking Daff during the break, when did model aeroplanes and things like toys become drones? I guess when the US invaded, or I shouldn't say invaded, the US launched their war against terror, I think they call it.
I think social media is a big thing as well. Everyone wants just that little bit better picture than the next guy. So drones came in and just get pictures from a different angle. Now it's videos from a different angle, and the GoPro's taken it a long way as well. So it's one of those things where it just keeps on evolving, doesn't it?
You're not going bald, are you? You have some very revealing shots of players who have, especially on a wet day, we'll find exactly who's got male pattern baldness down at the points.
Well, I'm fine in that area, so the drone can stick around for a little bit longer.
Aaron, you're a cracking good footballer and a cracking good interview. Have you taken any of your trademarks? Becky's Brett, who's a mad North fan, remembers that absolute mountainous mark in the 2007 final against the Hawks. That is one of the all-time greats. Not eligible for Mark of the Year because for some reason... AFL, you can't, if you take a great mark in the finals, it just doesn't count for mark of the year.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I wouldn't mind taking one, to be honest. But no, I haven't got my hands on a big mark yet. But hopefully, maybe it could start this weekend. I don't know. But yeah, I haven't been really going for it. But I won't shirk from the opportunity if one does arise.
Well, it's a gain for the competition. It's a gain for the Pines and for any of our fans and listeners out there that live in the Frankston area. You could do a lot worse if you're not connected to a local footy team to go down and check out the bloke with the big... Well, he's got the big guns. He plays for the Pythons, so it all matches up, and he's dressed like a bit of a garden gnome like the rest of them, or a Christmas elf, but it must make for great viewing. Thanks for joining us tonight, Aaron.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Aaron.
High-flying Aaron Edwards just has to watch out for oncoming air traffic.
This is the next big thing, finally. Now everyone will want a drone. So
I've got a drone. She's at home looking after the kids. Oh, I hope she's not listening. Another night in the doghouse.
She's not.
Pardon?
You know she's not.
There's just a chance she's million to one. She's had to go down the street to get a litre of milk, and the radio's on SEN, and I would be in so much trouble. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to head to the Ballarat Football League. Milton South coach Mark Pedersen, last year at Coburg, this year, country footy. He's snoring. I have not won any awards for husband or father of the year and will not. Dyson, we'll catch up next week.
No worries, thanks, Jim.
Mark Pedersen was part of a very successful coaching setup at Coburg last year, with the reins being held predominantly by Peter German. They were predicted maybe to go through the season winless, but not only did they produce wins, but also good footballers, and Melton South, obviously, jumped at the chance to appoint him as their senior coach, and he joins us now. Good evening, Mark.
Yeah, good evening, Tony.
Great to speak to you, and had that great night with the Coburg Footy Club last year, so I kept a close eye on how the season transpired, and there were wins, and there were also close calls, and then probably the cherry on top of that Sunday was the drafting of Adam Sard, who's now one of the few good news stories for Gold Coast Suns in a disappointing start to the year. You must take great pride in what was achieved by the club and by Adam.
Yeah, so I went to the season launch on Saturday night, and the whole club is really buzzing about Adam, and it's fantastic, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
And it also, his first game for Melbourne, his large extended family and friends came, and that's the sort of environment that Coburg tapped into. So it's a very different world that you step into as Melton South coach. Obviously, they play in the Ballarat Football League, and it's back to local football, country football, for a team that's really not a country side by definition.
Yeah, very, very true, Finey. And, you know, being in the Ballarat League, it's a very good league and very competitive. And I don't know too much about the opposition, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Mark, it's Paul Daffy. Why did you go to Melton South in particular?
Well, Paul, I actually played at Coburg and I played under back in the Phil Cleary days and Colin Kinnear days and yep. loved the Coburg Footy Club. But I actually live in Melton.
Okay.
So, and Melton South have been struggling of late. They've only won two games last year and it's a little bit close to my heart. It was my brother's club and my brother passed away. And they rang me up and this was actually the day after I'd recommitted to Coburg. And so it was a very hard decision to make. But I just felt with what I learned under Peter German, I felt that I could really do something at Melton South. And look, we've had a great pre-season, a very young club. And I'm really looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be a challenge. We're coming from a long way back. But no good me going in and coaching a top side, is there?
Well, that's right. The only way is down.
Exactly.
that young team will have a very exciting start to the season. Chris Tarrant is going to... Well, he certainly was slated to. Is he going to line up in the first game of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. He trained really well tonight. Trained the house down, he did. And there was a real buzz at the club. There was plenty of spectators and... funny thing, there was plenty of women up there. Women.
I was going to say, I've got a feeling a few girlfriends and wives just might have, you know, maybe put the wedding ring away and put the engagement ring in the glove box and just stood over the fence and waved to Chris because they do love his arms.
Yeah, finally, the trainers were lining up, actually. I've never seen so many female trainers ready to give him a rap.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I ain't saw there.
That's how it goes. Look, Chris was a gentleman tonight, and he spoke really well to the players. And look, as I said to the players, you know, it's great to have an ex AFL champion at the club, but just the person he is, he's incredible. Just a lovely bloke, and to me, that's what's more important.
Does Melton? As an area, because Melton's in the competition as well, can they support two Ballarat Football League teams? It's a strong competition, and I would have thought that Melton, not Melton and Melton South, would probably be able to field a competitive side. Is it a drain on both clubs?
Well, it probably is. When they first went in, they were in the ADFL, and then they went into the Ballarat League, and they actually dominated the Ballarat League for a couple of years there. And then the Ballarat teams, through North Ballarat, all sort of took over. And Sunbury Lions were very strong as well. But the great thing about, I suppose, the thing that Melton's got in its favour is the youth around the place. I mean, our under-18s finished on top, I think, the last 2 years. And we've just got a young side, and we can build this side. And in 2 or 3 years, I believe that we'll be a force to be reckoned with again.
It's a growing area. It's obviously a young area. And Mark, hopefully, and I'm sure you'll be able to, because that's exactly what Coburg was, a young team with a job ahead of them, you'll be able to provide that experience. Let's leave it there, but recommit to having a chat, Daff, with Mark. 4 games in. It can be 4, might be 0-4, might be 2-2 or 4-0, doesn't matter. We'll speak again in a month, Mark, and find out how that first 4 games has gone for you.
That sounds great, Finey. Thank you very much.
Good luck, all right. All the best for Melton South this year in the Ballarat Football League under Mark Pedersen.